Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And today we start a series looking at the beginning of the American Association season. And what better place to begin with than with Chicago Dogs manager Butch Hobson. Butch, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I hope you're all safe and well, and we're all doing the things that we need to do and have to do to make sure that, eventually we can beat this thing and, good Lord willing, they'll come up with a vaccine. I know there's a lot of, craziness out there in the world today but the summertime needs baseball, and the American Association has taken the bull by the horns. Six teams said we're going to play, and these owners aren't going to make any money. They're going to lose money, but they said we're going to try our best to get playing baseball so that little boy and that little girl can have a chance to take a summer night and go to the ballpark.
It's awesome that you guys are going to be able to get the season started. Were you surprised when that announcement came out?
Well, I knew that they were working hard to make that happen. I was thinking, I was kind of hearing, well, it may be the middle of July, and not because originally said, start early July, and then I was hearing, well, it may be the middle of July, depending. And so when they decided on the Friday that we were going to, start, I was going to be leaving Sunday to come to Chicago so I could do the things I need to do to get, to get things done, to help Trish and get things done in the locker room and finalize my roster and do some things that, so it kind of came quick, but that's okay. I had to wait a little bit. I'll tell you what, guys, I love to fish, but I got tired of fishing. I didn't want to pull in another fish because it's the first time in I don't know how many years that I've been at home in summertime in June. So I'm glad to be here. I love Chicago and I love this ballpark and Sean Hunter, our owner, was one of the spearheaders of let's play baseball, let's play baseball. And I tip my hat to him and the other owners and to our commissioner and our director and all the things that they're doing. But it did kind of come pretty quick, quicker than I thought, but that's okay. I didn't have anything else to do. Like I said, I was sitting at home cleaning my house all the time and fishing and spending time with my grandbabies. Well, spending time outside away from them, but I got to see them anyway.
When you contacted players to say, hey, we're ready to go, I would assume they were pretty excited about getting baseball going as well.
Well, very excited, because players that we had signed, and then, we held a draft of the other six teams in the league with players that, did want to play. There were a number of them that, decided, it might be best. There was, I'm sure, a lot of uncertainty in a lot of players' minds about, the safety and everything that comes with this pandemic. But every player that I signed and every player that I talked to, quite a few of them, there's just hundreds of released players out there. And, a lot of them said, Mr. Hobson, I just think I'm going to take the rest of the year off because of the uncertainty of everything. And I fully understand that. But my guys are ready to go. We're ready to go. We had a good workout today. Have another good one tomorrow and next week for 4 days before we head down to Milwaukee to open the season.
What was the level of surprise among your organization when you got word that indeed you would be able to play games at your home ballpark as opposed to being a hub partner with Milwaukee?
Well, you know what? That was awesome, and it was. I mean, when Trish told me, she said, don't say anything, but it's quite possible we might get approved to play at home. And I love this ballpark, and players love playing in this ballpark. And it was that was quite a surprise, and it was a pleasant surprise, and just really happy. And, when I told the players, because they were all expecting to spend 42 games in Milwaukee, when they got the news that we were going to be able to play in that ballpark, they were very, very excited.
Did that lead to a little bit of scrambling in the organization's part as far as getting apartments and housing lined up?
Kevin, I'm sorry, I did not hear you. I understand.
I guess I was asking, did that lead to a little bit of scrambling to find places for the players to live in Chicago as opposed to Milwaukee?
Well, we were going to be staying in a hotel in Milwaukee. In other words, Milwaukee is a commuter trip for us, but we would not have been going back and forth for 42 days. They had us scheduled to stay in a hotel about 5 miles from the ballpark. And as of now, you know, we have host families, but that's not going to go. We're not going to do that this year, because of the COVID. So we are all going to be staying at the Rose, right up here, off of Balmoral and right behind Dave and Buster's here. Beautiful hotel. So that's where they're putting us up and that's where we're going to be staying.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about the dispersal draft, Butch, because you focus completely on pitching. I mean, especially on the left-handed side. I would gather you're looking at a lot of quality left-handed hitters that you want to match up well against. Or what was the strategy you were using?
Well, but we just didn't have any left-handers. You know, I mean, we had four left-handed starters last year, and Stout was the guy. He's a local guy. He's from Glen Ellyn. Has family in Glen Ellyn, and he was the guy that we took first, and I saw him throw today, and I'm glad we took him because he had some success a little bit of time that he had in Kansas City last year, but we had not really had any left-handers in the bullpen. There weren't that many players out there, and then I was calling and trying to find the left-handers. We did find one that was released in West Helsbeck. But we were able to pick up this young man, Andrew Mitchell, in the draft, from Sioux City. We actually had another left-hander, Carlos Diaz Jr., that was going to be closing in the back end. But we were told that he is going to play. He decided that he had a little bit of a leg injury and his wife's pregnant, so he decided not to come. We had another left-hander, Jason Seaver, that pitched for Lincoln. Really good numbers, out of the bullpen. And, when I talked to him, he said, "Mr. Hoffman, I'm not 100%. I just, I don't feel 100%. And at that point in time, I said, "Jason, you don't need to come because number one, I don't want you to get hurt, not being 100% and trying to go out and do more than you should be doing. And, it was best for him to just stay home." So, I like left-handers and we picked up Thomas Dormany, out of the Atlantic League when Somerset decided not to play, a quality left-hand pitcher, and along with Dahlberg, who had a really good year for us last year, Dahlberg being a local guy. We picked up Eddie Butler. Well, he wasn't in the draft. We signed Eddie Butler, in the offseason. He's got about 5 years, 5 years of time in the big leagues, right-hand starter. Now we've got some guys battling it out for that field spot and some guys battling out for, the bullpen spots. We've got 17 pitchers in camp, and we'll start the season with 14 because we can go 25 players for the first 10 days, and then we have to get down to 23.
And any possibility that Keon Barnum will be returning back with you guys this season?
No. Keon had surgery on his Achilles. He had some issues with his Achilles last year, and he ended up taking ground balls in spring training with the Nationals and popped it. And so they performed surgery and healed that. Those are really nasty injuries to recover from. So he will not be available this year.
Pitchers in the American Association just breathed a collective sigh of relief.
Do what, buddy? I'm sorry. Kevin, when you talk, I get a little bit of a muffle, so I apologize. What'd you say there?
I was saying the pitchers in the American Association just had a big sigh of relief hearing that news.
Oh, the Keon was playing. Yeah, he had a hell of a year last year. I mean, he was very deservedly Independent Player of the Year, Independent Baseball Player of the Year. Keon learned how to hit. I mean, he's had that tremendous power. I mean, 31 home runs, and I think 19 of them were to the left of center field. So he really learned how to hit. DJ Boston, Darryl's DJ's brother, Darryl, the first base coach for the White Sox, who's been my hitting coach for about 5 years now, and he really helped Keon a lot.
Had a big impact on Victor Roach as well, who had such a huge season.
Oh,
he could have been an MVP on his own.
Exactly. And, Victor had a good solid year, almost 300 with 28 home runs. 90 RBIs, you know, that was a pretty good 3-4 punch right there. And I think, you know, with Vic back, we've added Joey Todosiewicz. My son, KC, is a big power hit first baseman. He's going to get to play. He's going to play for me this year. We got a Michael Krause out of the Atlantic League. Big, he was a prospect for the Blue Jays back a few years ago. He's like a gazelle in center field. He's a very, very, very good outfielder. And he'll still, and he stole in the Atlantic League winning, I think, 51 bases. So we got some speed there. You know, Roselli been with us for 2 years as a rookie. He's got big time power and, you know, he's a good outfielder. Arroyo's back as our second baseman. Good little player, 2 year rookie player. And we signed a shortstop and then, well, we actually had Gustavo Pierre, but Gustavo's a Dominican. We can't get him in. And then we signed a young man. We had signed Osvaldo Abreu, who was a big prospect for the Nationals, but he's Dominican. We can't even get visas right now. So we're not even pursuing that because it's just not going to happen, and it's not going to happen soon enough. So I like what we've done offensively. We've still got a couple of things we're looking at, but, you know, I like offensively what we have done. Starting-wise, I think 4 quality starters, 3 of them being left-handed, and a couple of, you know, 2 or 3 really good arms. Actually, Casey Crosby, we're going to kind of work him into a starting rotation. You know, he's been throwing 2 and 3 innings, and he had a heck of a year last year. I mean, he threw 100 in pre-training, and I don't know why they released him. I really don't, because he had a heck of a year last year. And he proved that he's healthy. You know, Casey had some injury problems, but, you know, he's a local guy that everybody, most everybody knows from his high school football career, the things he did. And he's a guy that's got some big league time, but and a quality gentleman on top of that. But, you know, the really impressive thing about a lot of these guys is that, you know, these guys knew that things are going to be different. I mean, when you come off the field and you got a ball, you know how the players come off the field with a ball and they like to throw it to that little boy or girl in the stands. Can't do that anymore. You know, when guys like to sign autographs, they like to be asked to sign autographs. Can't do that anymore. A lot of the on-field stuff that's going to be different. But, you know, I'm explaining everything, and, you know, we've got a tournament going on over here, so we're working around that. I've not had one complaint from the 30 guys that are here, not one. And, you know, it's to me, that shows some character and class that they understand. You know, it's just, you know, I told them after we all got tested negative, I said, guys, don't get cocky. Don't get out and go to a bar and be hanging around a bunch of people and in close situations. You got to stay, keep your distance. You got to wear your mask. Because you're negative now doesn't mean that you could be somewhere and all of a sudden the next time they test, which I think we're getting tested again on Monday, the league is on top of this, making sure that we get tested. I know they're talking about doing an antibody test so we can find out who may have had it and didn't know it. So the league is doing everything that they can and in their power to do to make sure that, for the safety of the staff, the players, the people in the front office, and when we play a game at home, the fans, when they come to the ballpark.
That's awesome. You know, I have to say, it doesn't surprise me that your players are, you know, kind of taking it this way. You know, I think a lot of times a team takes on the character of its manager, and knowing you over these few years, you've always been a guy who's interested about having respect for the game. So it really doesn't surprise me your players are having that same kind of attitude about it.
Well, thank you for saying that. That makes me feel good, and I appreciate you saying that. There's no reason not to conduct yourself as a gentleman at all times and conduct yourself with class at all times. There's going to be hiccups this year. You know, when that player slides into home and scores a run to put us ahead, he jumps up and the batter goes up there to get the bat and he gives him a high five. Can't do that. But those things are going to happen. We're just going to have to make sure that we just kind of like, you know, think before we act. And, you know, you guys understand what I'm talking about, and most athletes do. You know, that excitement, and you're not thinking about that. But we're going to have to this year.
Well, likewise, if you get in an argument with an umpire, social distancing is still going to be in effect.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get me a yardstick and take it out there. Put it on the ground and make sure that I'm 6 feet away and put my mask on. and, you know, have our discussions. But we're all going to make sure, you know, the rules are, you know, if a manager, you know, crosses the foul lines and he's automatically ejected, you know, some rules that they're, I mean, you got to be safe. And whatever rules they say, this is what we're doing, we're going to abide by them. We're going to abide by them. Because we're all thankful that we are going to be able to play baseball this year.
You're going to start
a yardstick giveaway in the works here?
I don't know. I'll bring it up to Trish. That might not be a bad idea.
I think you're going to start a new saying where I won't argue with you unless I've got a 6-foot pole. And maybe that's what you got to have there or something. Butch, I have to ask you about this, is that, you know, they talk about baseball as a marathon, but a 60-game schedule kind of makes it a sprint. So does that change the way you approach building a team and managing in general?
Well, I mean, you know, we're a 23-man roster league, and being able to carry four teams, the extra two pitchers, because these guys haven't been able to do anything. At home, everything's been shut down. So you're going to need that extra pitcher because, you know, your starter's going to go out that first start and maybe 50, 55 pitches, then you go to your bullpen. Thankfully, the league really thought well on this because we have every Monday off. That's going to be a big, big thing, having every Monday off. That gives your starters, you know, an extra day. It gives your bullpen, you know, an extra day. So they really did a great job in thinking that through. But I don't think it changed anything. I mean, we're just, you know, we're working hard to get ourselves ready and had a beautiful day today. Hopefully, another one tomorrow and then, good work days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before we head down to Milwaukee on Friday.
You play 24 games against Milwaukee this season. Do you see that kind of building up a heated rivalry, or how do you evaluate that matchup?
Well, I mean, I was scheduled that way because we thought we'd be playing in that hub, and they don't want us traveling much. I mean, those are going to be, you know, that's going to be interesting on the bus rides. You know, we're going to try to figure out the best way we can do this as far as the bus rides. I don't know if there's a situation where my staff and I might drive to give the players more room so we can keep the distance the best way we can. So that was done for that reason, so that there would not have to be that much travel, because Fargo is about 10 hours. Sioux Falls is about 7. Those are the only two places that we're going to. But I do understand, I mean, we used to go down to Sugarland and play when I was in the Atlantic League, and we'd go down there and, you know, we'd have a 7-game series against Sugarland. So, you know, sometimes things can, you know, you get tired of looking at a guy. and he gets tired of looking at you, so sometimes some things can flare up. But that's not important here. What's important here is that everything that we do, we abide by the rules about what the government wants us to do, about, you know, what everything that we need to do to make sure that we are safe. I mean, guys, I'm 68 years old. I almost died of strep pneumonia back in 2016. I had a stent put in 2002. I'm a really high-risk person. So, and my players know that because I can see them all the time. They kind of stay away. You know, I've got had back surgery. They won't let me do anything. You know, they make sure I have a chair to sit in. So they're taking care of this old goat. So I appreciate that.
Well, we're glad they are. That's for sure. So let's talk a little bit about what your thoughts are on how your team looks at this point. How confident are you about the club that's going to take the field next Friday?
Well, like I said, offensively, I like what we've done on paper. I mean, you know, a lot of times a lot of players that I had signed are guys that, you know, a couple of guys that are trying to make a comeback. You know, the guy like Paul Swindell, you know, and a lot of the teams are letting a lot of guys go to make room for stuff because there's no classification status anymore. But I didn't release anybody. I had room for pitching when I in the draft, and I didn't call anybody and let them go. Everybody came to spring training. That doesn't mean that things can change because I've never seen some of these guys. So you also have to see who's ready and who's not. You know, some guys, like I said, a lot of these guys didn't get to do anything because things were closed. But you know, I like what I've seen. I like some of the arms I saw today. Stout threw very, very well. Callahan threw well. Crosby threw well. We'll see probably Stout's going to be our opening day starter. Probably see Butler tomorrow in another simulated game. So, you know, we're trying to get everybody their work and trying to also maintain in it a way to where, you know, I don't expect a hitter to hit a ball right now and bust his ass to first base because they haven't had a chance to do any of that. So it's going to be interesting at the start of the season. You know, we're not going to be able to play any games. You know, we had thought we might play the Black Sox as a team that travels around and plays independent teams. But, you know, Dr. Cole and his, you know, and helping us with this protecting ourselves just didn't feel like he wanted another team coming in that had not been tested. So we're just doing simulated games right now.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. Kevin,
do you see any of these guys that you said you got like 17 pitchers in training camp? Will there be guys that you release, but you say, you know, we're releasing you, but keep working out because, like, let's say a couple of the guys come down with COVID. You're going to have to.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You have to think those things through. Yes. You had to bring more. You had to bring a lot of pitchers to camp, especially when you're going to take 14 to start the season.
Was that when you were looking at minor league releases? And I think there were like 1,000 or something a few weeks ago that wound up being released. Were a lot of those guys kind of actively reaching out to you to say, "Hey, I'd really like to continue playing baseball this summer," and to you know, thought Chicago would be a great destination.
Well, we're getting a lot of that right now. You know, I talked to a number of players, guys, that minor leaguers, like I told you, they were just not sure of the uncertainty, but, you know, they were getting made to take more money collecting unemployment than they were playing minor league baseball. You know, and then the fear factor of, you know, I'm just not sure that I want to take a chance, but, you know, we're ready to go. I mean, we're giving it a good work day every day. And you know, I'm going to take my coaches and I are going out to eat here in a little bit, and we're going to talk about a few things, and we'll be that. We call it the war room at night. They come to my room. We hash everything out. You know, we argue about a lot of things. We hug each other's neck. Well, no, we don't do that. We can't do that anymore. But, you know, we elbow pump and say, okay, tomorrow's a good day.
That's fantastic. Butch, we appreciate you spending a little time with us today.
Not a problem, guys. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to y'all again during the season.
Sounds great. Good luck to you out there.
All right. Thank you. Thank y'all.